In her childhood days, there were those times. Mother or father would have sent us on an errand. And therefore, one was told that they had to go and get such and such from the shop, or they had to deliver this particular parcel to one of the neighbors. I remember always coming up, I suppose, to the end of the year, having to bring some holly to a neighbor. And it was like a ritual. I did it every year. And I was back on her doorstep about 6 months ago, and she didn't recognize me. Probably because I've little hair now, but that was my little task come December time, to bring the holly. Or you would bring something else, a message that had to be relayed to a particular person. And it was expected that having been told what to do, that you then proceeded to do it. But you know, men and women, that is something just not for children. The same could also be said about many others. The errand and the mission of the politicians at this time is supposedly to restore peace and order to this country and to receive back powers from Westminster. The errand and the mission of the charities is to flag up their needs before the nation at large. They have been deprived of their much needed funds due to the cursed lottery. And for God's people, I believe the Lord has for each one of us an errand and a mission to accomplish in life. It is for every believer to know what the will of God is for their life and to seek to obey that will and to carry it out as best, to the best of their ability. And when we think of John the Baptist, his mission, his errand was to be the forerunner of the Savior himself. And thus he spoke of the one whom he was not worthy to lose the latchet of his shoe. He said on another occasion that he must increase, but I must decrease. He pointed out to the people that day by the Jordan their need for repentance, and he showed them the Lamb of God. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world." John the Baptist had a mission to do, and he was faithful in the doing of it. For the Lord was speaking about him. He was to say these words. He was a burning and a shining light. But what was true of John the Baptist was also true of the Savior himself. He testified freely that he had a mission to do as well. He had an errand to do, and he made it known that he was sent by the Father to do and to fulfill his will. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And from the very foundation of the world and from the councils of eternity past, it was agreed amongst the Godhead that one day the blessed Son of God should come to this earth to do a work. And it is in these words that Christ himself speaks of his mission and of his errand. These are words which ought to cheer the unbeliever. They ought to give comfort to the unsaved person in this meeting this evening. For just as the memorial in Geneva to the Reformation reads, "After darkness, light," so that can also be your experience spiritually tonight. I want to leave with you the words of verse 46 of this chapter, where the Savior said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I want you to consider with me, firstly, the darkness of this world. If we go back to the beginning of time, when the world was created by the God of heaven, we're brought to consider the fact that there was a physical darkness which prevailed and which covered the face of the earth. You see, we read in Genesis 1 verse 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Can you imagine what it would have been like, that thick darkness to be resting upon all the earth? But in the great creation plan of God, the first day was to see the dispelling of that darkness, where we read that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it was when the Lord God had created that light that he called it day. The light was to divide the darkness. Therein lies the reason why we have hours of daylight and hours of darkness. But when we speak of this, we do so in the physical sense. But my friend, tonight we could likewise say that this world in the spiritual sense is one also of darkness. This is a world which abideth in the darkness of sin. And that is the sense of the closing words of my text tonight. And what's more, that being the case, it is also true that men love the darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. There is no one who surely could say that the world is getting better. The scriptures remain to be true, where they say that things will wax worse and worse. There is tonight in this land a sin in every hand. We've only got to look at some words of the Bible to see their up-to-date truth. 2 Timothy, if you'll turn to that, in the chapter 3, and especially the opening verses, we look at these words, we realize that they're very much speaking of this present time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Are we not living in such a time? Such a time where we're seeing those things manifest in all their fullness. And if that isn't sufficient to indicate to you that we're in the last of the last days, then turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And you'll see again verses which speak of the same darkness that prevails in this land and in this world tonight. Romans 1 verse 27. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And men and women, you read those verses, you're reading of a catalogue of the blackest of sins, of the darkness of evil and sin of this world. Tell me, do those words not speak about the sodomites that are on the increase and they're receiving as many rights today as you and I have? When God spoke about the Sodomites, He didn't confine it to the Old Testament scriptures. Their character is clearly revealed in the verses that we've read tonight. "As anger rained upon them with fire and brimstone in the days of Lot." And you know, it's no surprise what we read in Luke chapter 17 of what it will be like prior to the Savior's second coming. Luke 17 verse 28. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." That's what it will be like before the Savior's return. Day where the Sodomite on the increase. Look at this land this evening. And in the accordance to the scriptures, you must say that it's steeped in darkness. Sin abounds in every hand. There is a thick darkness overshadowing this old world. Where there is darkness, then that manifests itself in people not being able to see where they're heading. The Savior was to say the same in our chapter, verse 35. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You see, the state of natural man who is born in sin and shapen iniquity has meant that he cannot possibly see where he is heading. He is as one who is physically blind. His eyes are not opened to the spiritual truths of the Word of God. The darkness of this world prevents him from seeing the dangers, from seeing the pitfalls, from seeing the eternity that the devil has laid out for every one of his people. It is the aim, it is the object of the God of this world to keep you in the darkness of your sin and to prevent the light of the gospel shining through. He is content, he's happy to keep you in the state you're in this evening. He's desiring that you would continue as you were. Just go on the way you're going, blind along that road that you're traveling on, and one day fall into that place which is known for its eternal darkness. You see, it is with such words that hell is often described in the Gospels. I think of the man who sought to get into the wedding feast without having the wedding garment on. He was like Cain, who sought to approach God, who sought to please God by another way. There is only one way to please God, and that is by the way of the blood sacrifice and the slain lamb. And therein lies the reason why Abel's offering was acceptable and pleasing to God. Many today believe they can get into heaven other than by the way of the cross where the Lamb of God was slain. Oh, preacher, I'll go my own way. If I'm a churchgoer, then God will bring me into heaven. If I seek to do no harm to anyone, if I support my minister in the work of the Lord, then I will one day be in that place. My friend, there's only one way that leads home. And that's the way of the cross. But what was said about the man who hadn't got the wedding garment on? You'll find it in Matthew 22 and verse 13. I want you to listen to the verdict and the command of the king. He said unto them, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear sinner friend, this world is no friend of God. It's a world of darkness. And for all who go the way of the world, they will one day end up in that eternal punishment and in that eternal darkness of which the man without the wedding garment on was to go to. That wedding garment that was freely provided, that wedding garment that was freely offered there at that wedding feast. So it is with you in the gospel. You cannot get into heaven with your filthy rags of self-righteousness. You must have the spotless garment of Christ's righteousness. You must be in Christ if you're ever to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. But go on the way you're going, and you'll end up in the eternal darkness, in the caverns of the damned. That's why we preach to you. That's why we seek to warn you, lest you would take another step and fall into that darkness forever, for all eternity. Well, let me show you secondly here the coming of the Savior. You see, the Savior's coming is obviously implied in the words of my text. For he said, I am come a light into the world. Let me think of the glories he had with the Father. Of that place where there is no night and where there is no need of the sun nor of the moon. For the glory of God does lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. When we think of where the Son of God dwelt, and then to think of this world to which he came, then we are compelled to think of his condescension and of his humility. Why should the Son of God want to come to such a place as this? It must be because he loved us so. And they wanted to save His people from the darkness of their sinful nature. He desired that they would be brought into the light of the gospel, and instead of facing an eternity of darkness, that they could have that hope and they could have the assurance of an eternity in heaven. I want you to notice the words which the Savior said. He said, "I am come a light into the world." Now those words teach us that He existed before He came into this world. His existence didn't just commence when He was born in the manger. He existed prior to this. He is from eternity past to eternity future. He is one who has no beginning and He has no ending. And what's more, He was always light. He came as a light into the darkness of this world. When we consider the sun in the sky, you know, it exists and it shines continually even before it arises above the eastern setting. And so it is with Christ. He told His people that they are to be the light of the world, but they do not come as a light into the world. This could only be said of Him who is God, of Him who is the Lord and who is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And just as the sun in the sky comes, and just as it sets its rays upon the darkness, so as to dispel them, so was the mission, so was the errand of the Savior coming into this world. He came as a light so that men and women could be brought out of the darkness of their sin, brought into the glorious light of the truth. You know, the very commencement of John's gospel, it brings that truth before our very eyes. John 1 and verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And so as there's no confusion over the meaning of that word comprehended, it simply means it didn't admit it. It didn't receive it. It didn't accept it. The Lord Jesus Christ had come. He had come as a light to shine in a dark place. But the world would not receive that light. The world would not admit that light. And there's nothing that has changed tonight in its rejection of the Savior and its rejection of the message of the cross. The world still hates the Christ of God. The evolutionist will not accept, nor will he admit that this world was created by God and He did it in the space of 6 days. To do so, to admit that, he will have to admit that he is a sinner who is in need of the Savior to save his soul. If he admits that, then he admits that he has one day to stand before his great Creator God, the one who made all things in heaven and earth. And to this day the world hates the light. It hates the blessed Son of God. And of itself it will not come to the light. Stand before a light that shows up all the flaws. It shows up the marks. Shows up the dust. Shows up the blemishes. That is why this world will not come to the light of the world. Because to do so will expose all sin. You'll read it in John chapter 3 and verse 20. Where it says there, "For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And if you look at the margin, you'll see there that that word takes on the rendering of discovered. That's why the sinner won't come of himself to Christ. Because to do so he knows that his deeds shall be discovered. His evil deeds. His sin. But Christ came as that light. And he did so that his rays would shine upon those who sat in darkness. We read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 78 and 79, "Wherefore, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Wonder tonight, dear sinner, do you recognize that you're one who's sitting in darkness? That you're one who's sitting in the very presence of death? Eternal death, spiritual death. Wonder, has God's Spirit been striving with you? Has God's Spirit been guiding you into the way whereby you can have peace with God? Christ came. And he came so that it would go the way of the cross. And all the suffering and all the shame that would go along with it. The blessed Son of God took the sinner's place. He died the sinner's death. He bore our iniquities and our sins in his own body on that tree so that we might be saved. And for the price to be fully paid, he who is the light who came into the world, he plunged into the darkness and he plunged into the depths of Calvary. The Father could not any longer look upon him who had become sin. The very sun in the sky couldn't shine. It was darkened. For he who knew no sin there on that cross, he was to become sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God through him. The Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. He made it to meet on Christ. And he would bear it away in his own body. Thank God, out of that darkness came the cry, "It is finished." The Savior came to this world. And he came to do a work. He came and he finished that work. Dear unsaved friend, tonight, that is why the Savior came. That is what Christ has done. He has come as the light, and bless God, there is a way tonight which has been opened up from the dark paths of sin. Thank God there's a door tonight that has been opened that you, the sinner, may enter in. But it is at Calvary's cross. That's where you must begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Have you come yet? I wonder, will you come tonight? Will you come tonight in repentance of your sin to him who is the light of the world? Let me show you finally here the promise of salvation. You see, not only does this verse instruct us that the world is in darkness, not only does our verse tell us that Christ is the only light for mankind, but it also instructs us that what is required of man if he is to be brought from his darkness unto light. Look at the verse. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. There's a promise found in my text tonight. It's a promise to those who are still in their sin. Those who are still unsaved tonight. Look at it. It says that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What must you do in order to be brought out of the darkness of your sin? What must you do, sinner, tonight in order to escape the eternal darkness of hell forever? Simply this. You must have faith in Christ. Or, in the words of my text, you must believe. It does not say that you have to pay so much into the church. It doesn't say that you must make a pilgrimage at least once a year in your life to some spot on this earth. It doesn't say that you must try and be as good and as neighborly as you possibly can. No, it simply says you must believe. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That was the message that the Philippian jailer was to hear that night. That night of darkness. That night when the earthquake was to move at midnight. And thank God that man was to receive the light of the gospel that night. For he believed to the salvation of his soul. And his household also believed and they were baptized. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, dear sinner, and what he has done for you in obtaining your salvation. You know, it's not a mere believing about God. It is not a mere belief that there is a God, and that this old book is his word. I can turn you tonight to James chapter 2, and the verse 19. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And there are those who sit under the message of the gospel this evening, and there's a head knowledge, and you believe you're not an atheist tonight. You believe there's a God in heaven. You believe that the Bible is His God's word. But still you're not saved. You see, this is not just a mere intellectual belief that we're talking about, but rather it is a saving belief which has been spoken of here, a believing with the heart. A faith which rests not in anything that you can do. but in the work that has been accomplished by Christ on the cross. The words of Romans 10 and 10 tell it all. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Martin Luther said this, the only saving faith is that which casts itself on God for life or death. That's what saving faith is. Casting your all upon Christ. Casting your all upon the Savior to save you and to give you eternal life. For the person who believes in Christ and takes Him as their own Savior, then there's a comfort. And there's a promise that they will no longer dwell in darkness, but they'll be brought from darkness to light and from death to life. I want you to notice, to whom did the light of the world come to? To whom is extended this offer of mercy? You see, it says in my text, that whosoever believeth on me. The scriptures say in Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The sun in the sky, it just doesn't shine upon one place. It stretches across the face of the earth. And so the message of Christ, and so the message of pardon for sinners and His deliverance for those who dwell in the darkness of their sin, it stretches across the earth tonight for you who are on the sound of my voice, for you who are sitting before me. And it stretches to the end of the world for those who listened in through the audio sermon. The sermon audio. And many other ways to hear the gospel. And the message is to the whosoever. You see, it goes beyond boundaries. It goes beyond creeds or nations or tongues. It is for the whosoever. I wonder tonight, will you put your name in there? I wonder tonight, will you lay hold upon this promise for yourself? I wonder tonight, will you put God to the test of His word? He has said, I am come a light into the world. But if I believe in Him, I should not abide in darkness. Is that going to be you this evening? That is why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost because of sin. He came into this world to save sinners. That was His errand. That was His mission. He came to deliver you from nature's darkness and from your sin. And so that one day you might dwell in heaven with Him who is the light thereof. And thank God He came. He came and He fulfilled the work that the Father gave Him to do. And tonight, dear soul, the Savior is on high. He is seated at God's right hand. He lives in the power of an endless life. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto Him by God. Will you come tonight? Will you come and make sure of heaven this evening? Then turn to Him who is the light of the world. And be saved. And thank God your testimony tonight will also be after darkness, light. I once was in the darkness of my sin. But that night, God saved me. And I was brought from that darkness. And I was brought into the glorious light of the gospel. Now I'm saved. I'm saved for time and eternity. One day I shall be in that place which is fairer than day. That's what it can be for you tonight. That can be your portion, your experience. But I wonder, will you come to the Savior who said, I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Come tonight and be saved. God help you to do so. May the Lord bless His word to every heart for His own name's sake. Amen.